For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You have two options to start the show. The Dallas Stars or the mystery option.
Stars.
Alec?
Let's go Stars.
I did not stay up until freaking midnight last night to not talk Stars.
So just by the way, when that one person tweeted us, is Corey still awake? In my head, I thought there is no freaking way.
I wanted to go to bed so bad. It was during the intermission, Kevin, and I looked up and it said 5 minutes left. And I was like, I can't make five more minutes.
Yeah.
And they're like, but hey, hold on. We're almost there. I could totally make 5 minutes. All right. Barely, but I could totally make it there. All right. And so I did. I made it, and it was worth it. If they'd lost, I would have been ticked off.
You'd have been like, this was a stupid idea.
Like, I'm never doing this again. But they made it worth my time last night. They looked like a completely different team from game one, and that's what I liked last night.
I agree. Now, my question for everybody else as we go along the way, 877-881-1053, Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. Did you make it all the way, and would you have bailed if we went to the second overtime? That's what I was curious about along the way is obviously we're all glad it ended the way it ended, but the clock was ticking down and I was curious how many people would bail.
I'd already made up my mind that I was trying to get to bed before midnight. All right. I'd already made up my mind. And Kevin, you know, my old history on this, the way that I approached this before was if it's tied and going into overtime, I've seen the majority of the game.
Right.
I saw everything that happened except for one goal. So that one goal, I can watch the next day and be like, oh, that was a good goal. And I pretty much have the gist of the entire game because I watched most of the game. The overtime period gave me the one goal. However, sticking around for it, seeing some great play by Otter was worth my time. I mean, some special plays that he made last night. And some really special plays from Dodonov and the rest of the crew, man. They were fun to watch.
Some annoyingly special plays by Blackwood as well, though, right?
Yes.
I was like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah,
Why isn't this game over?
He had a couple of them that, like, Marchment was just sitting there staring into the sky going, how? Like, how do I get one through here?
Okay. I'm going to play cut four, but I want to know if you guys felt the same way. It felt like the puck sat there forever off of the, whether you want to call it a rebound, deflection, or whatever. It felt like the puck just sat there. And Colin's like, I might as well go get it. Boom, game over.
It was untouched for eternity.
It really
until
was.
Until Blackwell buried it.
Let's hear it.
Blackwell into the slot, shoots. Save made through traffic by Blackwood. Blackwell scores! It's over! This series is tied!
Yes. And you know what also, though, didn't make it worth it, though? Everybody was asleep in my house.
Oh.
So it was more... And then, all right, turn all the lights off and go to bed. That was pretty much the feeling. So, and I hated that.
We were a little too rowdy, me and Brandon, in the living room because my wife was asleep. And she, at one point, like, you know when you're, like, not really awake but not asleep? And she goes, what was that? And we go, nothing, go back to bed. Because we were just like, oh! While we were watching along the way. And we definitely woke her up. From the 903, it made it all the way. I would have stayed up for a second overtime, but I'm glad I didn't have to. From the 817, oh yeah, if it went to another OT, I would have been out. From the 214, made it all the way. Yes, I would have made it to the second overtime. I was wide awake and nothing else much to do. From the 817, no, I made it all the way through. I joined right after WWE. Now that is an interesting, like you're jazzed up about the Braun Breaker, Seth Rollins, Paul Heyman alliance, and now you jump over to the Stars game. I like it. It was super exciting, and you pointed it out. Specifically, I thought in the third period and for the vast majority of the overtime, I thought the Stars played the best hockey that they've played in weeks. In weeks. There was about a three-minute run in overtime that it felt like the tide was turning to Colorado, but that's it. It was that 3 minutes once you got past the rest of the power play, of course, at the beginning. It was like a three-minute section that I thought Colorado was kind of controlling the pace of play. But other than that, man, I thought the Stars were controlling the pace of play. I thought they were getting the better opportunities. They looked like they are at least as good, if not better, than Colorado in this section. Like, just that section.
The thing that I know irritates you the most is whenever it's like 40 to 12 shots.
Yeah, because you didn't control the puck.
You were consistently right there with them all game, 27, yes. 32. You were all, the whole time you were right there. The thing that I love so much is they were finishing their checks.
Yep.
They were putting people up against the glass. Now, go look at the numbers, and it was even. And you're like, hold on, it was even, but it felt like you did something more because you didn't do it in the first game. So that's if I'm DeBoer going into today, I'm like, guys, did you see the effect that you had whenever you started putting people into the glass? We got to do this every time. It's the playoffs now. It's not a regular season game.
I'm going to throw out my bold prediction. If the Stars go the rest of the way in the playoffs, pretty much more or less even on hits, they're going to win the cup. Because that's just like, that's not their game, right? As impressive as last night was, it used to be the Bischel show. That's why we were all so excited.
Dude.
Like, hey, you're a giant. You can smash people into the boards.
And he did last night. Yes, dude, he was awesome last night.
Which made me really nervous when he got headbutted by that.
Yeah, that was scary.
Crap, I forgot who it was that headbutted him. And of course, the announcer was like, well, obviously, that's not a penalty. But I was in the heat of the moment where I was like, it's a penalty he headbutted him. Even though he was probably right. But yeah, if the Stars can be even or close to even on hits, I think they're going to go on a run because this team is not known for its physicality. Its pace of play, yes. Goaltending, yes. It's really well-rounded group of talent, yes. Physicality, no. So if you get that, let's go.
Yeah,
let's see what happens.
That was the biggest difference for me last night was how they approached physicality and how they thought it was important. And then you saw it too. The first McKinnon goal on the power play, as he got the puck, I went, there's too much space.
Yeah.
Like I'm sitting there going, too much room. Why are you giving him room?
Yeah.
Goal. And you're like, why weren't you on him? Why didn't you step to him and do something about it? Be on the toes of your skate. I don't know exactly how that goes, but be ready, man. And they looked like they were sitting back being timid. And that's the moment where you're like, no, we got to turn this around. And McKinnon's going to fly. You know, this team, the Avalanche, are going to fly. They're going to get into your zone fast. That may have been the most frustrating part for me last night was the power play the Stars had when they wasted about a minute and 10 seconds trying to get it into the zone. And they are, all right, here we go, reset, skate in. And Colorado said, no, denied. All right, reset, skate in, Colorado denied. And it was like, okay, we got 30 seconds left to try and make something happen because you guys couldn't get the puck into the zone.
Yes, and if you give McKinnon space, maybe the second best hockey player in the world, you give, man, Makar last night was taking his shots. And I know
that is
something
like that
he will do. And the fact that you were able to, for the most part, be able to shut it down, I was happy about that. From the 940, Stars showed fight last night. They were battling. From the 817, I didn't even make it to the second period.
No.
Well, people have different work schedules. Yeah. I'd be curious about that.
I was already texting Kevin after 10 minutes. I was like, what are we doing here? Come on, man.
I told you. We warned you that would be the case. And it's a good thing they found a new spot for it, or else we would have been sitting there forever for the other overtime. from the 903. Oh, yeah, I watch every second of the Stars and would stay up for all of the overtimes, no matter how many it takes. From the 561. Didn't make it. Crash out. Woke up this morning with a great deal of anxiety, and I immediately checked.
Okay, I need to tell you this, and I'm trying to save my new password. Last year, there were times when I would go to sleep and be like, okay, look, you know, overtime's happening. I'm tired. And I would lay down and I would wake up at like 3 and would need to check my phone. So that's that feeling right there of like leaving and abandoning. That's what I didn't want to do last night because I was like, it's going to screw my sleep up anyway if I do this. So that's why that was one of the key reasons I stuck.
Do you always just check your phone? Or I'm curious if some people still have like a DVR or whatever, and they recorded the game, and they're like, no, I'm going to go back to where I was, pick up the experience, fast forward the commercial breaks, and like get the true experience. It probably depends on what your schedule looks like at that
point. Well, the first thing I do in the morning is check my phone. Like it's okay. Because my alarm's going off. And so I hit off, and then I look at it, and I probably have a bunch of texts from my friends that are like, hey man, Stars or whatever, you know, or screw this. If I don't have text, then I assume we lost. So that's that is a big factor there. And then, like that I said, Kevin, sense. I know the score at that point. So I just want to go watch the highlight of how it happened and see how that went down. And then I'm like, all right, let's go on to the next one. Would love to get some earlier games at some point in our lives. Just one time. It'd be nice.
Please. Just one time? Just, and then you'll be satisfied by the schedule and everything like that?
No, I'll never be satisfied.
Okay. Well, hey, Corey, don't look at the game times for the next two games, okay?
They're at 9:30, aren't they?
No, they're at 8:30.
Eastern.
But they're going to bum you out. That probably means they're part of a doubleheader. No, they're at 8:30 Central.
I don't know. Nobody knows
So, and they're probably part of doubleheaders, which means there's at least a decent shot you get the 8:45, 8:50 start.
Okay.
One of them's on a Saturday, though.
Yeah. All right. That's great. Hey, the other, I wanted to add this too. I know Rantanen didn't really, like, when you look at the line, he didn't have a Connor McDavid 3 assists and a goal kind of night. He didn't have one of those, and he hasn't had one of those yet.
And he had a chance to finish the game.
Did you feel, though, last night you saw a different version of him than you've seen most of the season from him? Because I did. I saw a dude that was using his size. He was they use the word leveraging his size. Yeah. I saw that multiple times. Is he getting into the zone? He looked like I asked him to put a cape on, and he looked like he was like, okay, I'm going to try. And he went out there, and he was making it to where now everybody started to have to key in on him a little more because he's making his way to the net. And that was something that I hope continues throughout the series because they need it. The Stars are going to need, without Robertson on the ice, when you're trying to make up for some of that offense, when you're trying to make up for Miro and his ability to get the puck into the neutral zone and even into their zone, you're trying to figure out how to get ways to get there. And Mikko last night was like, I'll take it and I'll just go. There were times when it was Wyatt and...
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, Shank Half or Whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco Snack Crackers, Ritz Crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Mikko, I thought they were deferring to other teammates a little too much, and I wanted them to be a little selfish. And I saw Duchesne do one, and I was like, okay, that's what I'm looking for right there. Be a little selfish and make something happen. Not too much, because this team's very good with each other. But every once in a while, you need one dude to say, hey, I'm taking this over right now.
All right, if you're going to shout out Rantanen, I am going to shout out Jamie Benn.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
I feel like I'm tough on Jamie Benn because there's a high standard that he should be held to. He was phenomenal on the forecheck last night.
Yeah,
and so I if we're going to be tough on him when I think he's had some tough runs, this is one of those games.
I felt comfortable with the puck on his stick last night, too.
For sure, for sure. And I know he had an assist, and I get that, and that's delightful. But I thought the bigger impact that he was making in the game was in other aspects, and especially bringing some physicality in with this team. And so I thought Jamie Benn...
He set the tone.
Yes, I
agree. The captain set the tone.
I agree. I thought Jamie Benn did a heck of a job. Now, what does this mean as the series goes back to Colorado? I'll tell you one thing it means. I don't, in my sports heart, think it's over. You know, because if you would have gotten... If you would have lost yesterday, especially if you would have, like, kind of gotten worked, then you're at like, hey, we lost 9 in a row. Mm-hmm. We lost the first two at home. I would have thought this team was donezo, even though they clearly have history of coming back from that. But now I saw multiple periods where I was like, we're as good, if not better, for that run as the Avalanche. Does that mean they're going to win the series? Of course it does not. But if they can play like this, you can see how they can win.
And for anybody that's out there going, why would you believe they can play like this? Because they did it most of the season.
Yes, they did.
This period that they had for the last, you know, 2-3 weeks now, that was not the Stars we've known all season long. And once, and again, when health makes its way back into this, they can be even more dangerous and more lethal. Hopefully Wyatt can turn it around too. I liked when in the third period and overtime, he was more into it, it seemed. He was more of a nuisance to the opponent.
And I'm not saying this is going to be the case whatsoever, but now imagine what this team is doing, and then you add in Robertson and Haskinen.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, okay. And to your point, you're right. Up through the end of March, I think you could make an excellent case that this is the best hockey team in the NHL.
Robertson isn't the fastest dude on the ice,
for sure,
but he's such a good... He has a computer, you know, like I look at him very robotic, Robo, whenever it comes to seeing the game and seeing the ice. And that's what makes him so good in his touch. He's not going to fly with those guys, but he is a difference maker offensively when he's on the ice.
I like this.
Oh, man. Tyler Seguin, too, dude. Give him some love.
That's fair.
He was finishing checks the way I love.
And he was getting involved offensively as well. Yes, that is fair. For the 903, I drank my coffee and finished the overtime game this morning. Great way to start the day.
There you go. That is a good day right there.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's switch gears to baseball. Thus far, are you more impressed by the Rangers' top-notch pitching or concerned about their lack of offense? Next on The Fan.
And the pitch. Swing and a miss. Got that splitter in on him. It actually kind of looked like a cutter up here, but called a splitter. And it doesn't really matter for Nathan. He gets the strikeout. It is his seventh strikeout of the afternoon.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The Texas Rangers embark on their West Coast swing tonight, 8:30 pregame, 9:05 first pitch right here on 105.3 The Fan against the A's. And then you got San Francisco over the weekend in obviously what feels like it should be a very much a marquee series. So the Rangers are 13-9. You feel good about that record. You're in first place in the division. You're half a game off the best record in the American League. However, offensively, you are tied for the least runs scored in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even the freaking Colorado Rockies have more runs than you, and they played one less game. So my question here is, because I think you guys actually...
Nobody has less scored runs than
yes,
you.
Yes, correct. Okay. I think you guys actually changed my mind about this with that statistic. Are you more impressed by the Rangers' top-notch pitching or concerned about their lack of offense? Because we're going to talk plenty about the top-notch pitching. But once you told me that, I was like, that can't be right. And you look at it and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And so I think because of that, I am concerned more about the offense than I am impressed by the pitching, even though the pitching's been phenomenal.
I do want to take a look back, because I'm not saying that this is a Bruce Bochy thing, because during our only World Series, we slugged the whole year. But our marquee guys were the ones carrying the load there, right? It was Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, it was Adolis Garcia. Those three guys were the ones that were like, hey, we're going to be consistent throughout the season. And then you got contributions from, you know, Mitch Garver, Josh Young. Those things happen. So I want to know, but I really want to look at is Bochy's pitching in those World Series years with other teams.
Okay.
In there, those years, were they at 3.25? You know, were they at a good ERA number, and were they getting these kinds of outings from their starting pitching? Because so that's where I am, Kevin. I'm very impressed with what their starting pitching has accomplished, and the fact that they're able to win these games throughout that. But what their starting pitching does is give them a chance, and they need every chance they can get right now until they figure it out. However, you already moved on from one pitching or from one hitting coach.
Yeah,
and now that's you have true. Very similar problems where they're not seeing some pitches. They just don't look like they're confident with what they're swinging at. But I'm most impressed with the fact that they're able to do what they're doing with this pitching right now.
So, okay, that is
that the answer to the question?
Yeah, that okay. Objectively is a funny text from the 858. I'm more concerned about the lack of offense, but Chris Young is clearly doing his best Nico Harrison impression since defense wins championships. All right, that is very humorous. Now, Bruce Bochy benched Jock Peterson on Sunday. Clearly, that did not jumpstart anything with the offense. But one of the things that Boch said was, it's not work harder, make any drastic changes. It's just getting your timing down. And so he said, I think a little success, maybe a couple days off, will serve him well. Because right now, Jock Peterson is 0 for his last 38.
Mm-hmm.
His previous longest slump in his entire career was 0 for 30. And in the last 15 games, he's 2 for 51. And his current hitless streak is the second longest by a Rangers player in franchise history. Only Justin Foscue last year, who went 0 for 39, had worse. So whenever Jock Peterson comes up again, whether it's tonight, whether it's tomorrow, if he gets out in his first two at-bats, that will officially be the longest hitless run in the history of the Rangers. Then you have Marcus Semien. He has an OPS at 4.01. That is the worst among all leadoff hitters in baseball.
Okay.
Then you have Jake Berger, who has an OPS of 5.13. And then, unfortunately, I'm sorry, we swing back around to Jock Peterson, who has an OPS of 2.20, which is worse for any regular player in all of baseball this year.
Yeah.
And like two out of those three, we have the worst OPS for a leadoff hitter. And then we have a player who's the worst regular in terms of hitting thus far in all of baseball. It is astonishing that the Rangers still are four games above 500.
When I watch Jock Peterson at the plate, Kevin, I see a guy who doesn't know what's coming next.
Yeah.
And one of the great things about that, about really good hitters, Corey Seager doesn't care what comes next. He's
fair.
I'm just trying to hit the baseball.
Sure.
Adrian Beltre didn't care what you were doing. He went up to the plate. He didn't necessarily sit there and go, I'm thinking about all the. He just went up there and he was like, when I see the ball that I want to hit, I'm putting it at, somewhere else. It's going to be awesome. And Jock doesn't look like he has a clue what pitch is coming. And that's what concerns me the most, is because we talked about his lack of, you know, seriousness in spring training. And that means for me, that would presume, hey, I go up there and I swing the bat, baby. That's what I do. And if you're going up there with a better plan and you're going, all right, he just threw me this pitch, and this pitch, now fastball's on the way. Or, hey, man, he's been setting fastballs up away. He's about then I'm feeling like you're more comfortable knowing that something, I'm in the right area, at least, when I'm swinging this bat. And he doesn't even look. There are times when there are curveballs in, there are things that are low and inside that I'm like, why did you even, did you really see it that way? Listen, I'm not hitting coach either, though, so he doesn't have to listen to me on this. But he has to find a different plan, because he doesn't look like whatever his bat speed is going to be is right where it's supposed to be right now. I do expect, Kevin, here in the near future, we discussed it last week, I do expect a pretty significant shakeup. And I would say it starts at the top.
Oh, for sure. And that seems to be what fans are clamoring for anyway from the 214. Marcus being the leadoff hitter still is so bleep and baffling to me. From the 940, you need Seager hitting behind Wyatt. And is it safe to assume, I'm going to check with you first, that is most people's presumptive top of the lineup? It was go Wyatt to lead off and then Corey Seager still in the second spot.
Yeah, that's what I would see. And I don't know exactly where to put Marcus in the lineup to for where he will feel comfortable. But
six or seven?
I mean, think about this, though.
I'm not putting him in the heart of the lineup now.
Your five is sometimes Berger.
Yeah.
Maybe five.
That's a good point. You know, like you are really struggling from there, too.
If you're shaking it up, shake it all the way up and see how things fall together. And at this point, guys can't get upset. Honestly. You can't get upset if you're being moved around here because y'all aren't producing the way you even expect yourself to. So I would expect something like that to happen at some point. That being said, I add this, and we brought this conversation up a little bit yesterday. Dustin Harris keeps sticking around because he's doing the things that it takes, and he says, "Look, I'm athletic enough to play any of the spots. I'm pretty comfortable in center field." And him next to Wyatt Langford in the outfield looks pretty good with what they do defensively.
It is a really advantageous situation for him to take advantage of.
Especially the way that Tavares has just looked abysmal in the outfield this year.
Yeah, which is surprising because that was going to be his bread and butter. But Harris is excelling at a time when just excelling would probably keep your bat in the lineup. But excelling at a time when the rest of the lineup just isn't making it happen, well, then that very much makes your bat seem indispensable at this point. Now, Alec, I want to check with you real quick before we dive back into the pitching. At this point in the season, are you more excited about what has been lights out pitching or concerned about the lack of offense?
I'd say more excited about the pitching because that feels like something that we touched on a lot during spring training and the offseason was question mark, question mark, question mark. Like, it felt like the offense is what we all felt comfortable with. We're like, there's a lot of known commodities on this team. There's some players that are younger that haven't had as much experience that we're excited to see what they can contribute. Pretty much everybody is underperformed. And if we keep on going down a route where Jonah Heim and or Josh Smith is in the conversation for your best skill position player,
you're
not going very far. But your pitching is giving you a chance to, which is still amazing to me.
By the way, I did see multiple people put the hat in the ring for Josh Smith to be the leadoff batter. So perhaps that's a question we can ask Boach tomorrow.
Because he gets on base a lot.
Yes, he does.
And so if you have him and you have Seager and Wyatt still behind him, you're feeling comfortable that you're going to get a run out of those three.
I agree with that. Now, for the pitching this year has been tremendous. All right. So look at the Angels and Dodgers series. Both of the games that the Rangers lost, they were shut out. And so, like, logically, man, I really want that tease where Mike goes, well, you can't lose if you don't, or you can't win. And we're just like, what? And that's one of my favorite baseball nuggets teases of all time. But obviously, you're not going to win if you don't score any runs. 4-2 against Angels and Dodgers with a 1.64 ERA. Okay. You might be more excited about this. 41 strikeouts to 7 walks. If you have a strikeout to walk ratio that's 4-5, now here 6-1, things are probably going pretty damn well for you.
Heck yeah. I'm feeling very... I mean, that was... Kevin, we were a night show when we did this study.
Yes.
To figure out exactly where, you know, what matters the most, and strikeout pitchers matter in all facets of what your pitching is. Starters, bullpen, closer, you need strikeouts in this game because that limits the amount of bad things that could happen.
Now, we got Patrick Corbin tonight, and I want to talk about that in just a second, but Tyler Malley is the 13th pitcher since 1995, which is designated as the wild card era, to have an ERA of 0.68 through their first 5 starts. It's been 30 years. He's the 13th guy. You know how many times a Rangers pitcher's ever done it? None.
Is he this good?
Okay, let me try this again. I was about to say I don't think so. No, he's not this good because at this rate, this would be the greatest pitching season since Bob Gibson and they had to change the height of the mound. But like, let's say he finishes with a 2.68. What an unbelievable find and an unbelievable win that would be for the Texas Rangers.
At 30 years old. And let's go ahead and give Mike Maddux some credit. You know, Mike Maddux is the one creating and designing these plans as these guys go to the mound.
Yeah.
So when you ask, is this guy this good? He had never pitched with Mike Maddux as his pitching coach.
That's
before.
True.
So maybe the thing he walks up to the mound with in his pocket is, hey, I have an execution plan that if I do it, it's going to work, and it just keeps happening.
Somebody brought up he could be this year's Jordan Montgomery. That is from the 214.
Well, he's right-handed.
Okay, but you get the point. But like, you cannot overstate the importance of Jordan Montgomery in 2023. It's impossible to overstate how important he was to that team.
It's a long season, okay? It's a long season, but let's talk about it real quick. The way Malley's pitching, if he's still like this at the end of the year, and what we saw from DeGrom the other day, you already know Eovaldi's going to be there.
Yes.
Are you going three righties?
Yes.
For your start, for your, yes. your playoff run?
There is no way I changed up from those three. No, absolutely. So,
and then you got Cody Bradford just like at some point, hopefully,
and hopefully maybe Patrick John Corbin. Gray.
Yeah, we got yeah. lots of options here.
And then Leiter comes back, Rocker. That's
it's a long season, guys.
It is a very long season. But then I see stats that say that the ERA for Tyler Malley thus far is the lowest through five starts for any pitcher in the history of the franchise.
History of the world, probably.
No, just the history of the franchise.
Okay, all right.
But also, do you know what the batting average against him is?
Batting average, 0.060. Am I wrong?
You are wrong, but that's okay.
That's his ERA, right?
Yes, his ERA is 0.68. His batting average against, he could be our leadoff guy because it's 112.
Okay, dude, you didn't have to do that.
Did I not?
That was unnecessary.
Is that inaccurate?
That was a shot at the guys, and it was unnecessary.
Okay, I'm very sorry.
I'm hurt right now.
I'm going to correct it.
He's a 0.825 WHIP right now.
No, you're right. And you're right, Corey. I'm going to correct it.
825.
Our leadoff hitter right now is hitting 141. So I do apologize for making such aspersions against him.
Taking shots at Simeon. And
now,
you're still upset about that time that he took that shot at you.
I thought it was hilarious. The comedic timing of Marcus Simeon when he goes, "Ooh, probably not getting that guy back on then, huh?" I just thought was tremendous. Now, the AL best ERA for a collective pitching staff, that is the Texas Rangers. For their rotation, they have a best 2.85 ERA. And you've pointed it out. It is early. But if we're going to kind of be worried about the hitting because it's early, even if it did transition over from last year, they did make some changes in the lineup, then I'm going to be excited about how freaking good this pitching staff looks.
And hopefully they do get their timing.
Yes.
At some point, that would
agreed,
be nice.
Agreed. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. How much would you pay for an autographed baseball of the Pope? Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. How much would you pay for an autographed baseball of Pope Francis? Now, obviously, unfortunately, Pope Francis just passed away in the early hours yesterday, I believe, as opposed to the late evening on Sunday. There is an autographed baseball of his, and I get it. It's not as flashy as I might think, because like, if you're the Pope, outside of the outfit, you probably don't need to flash it up too much. And so it just says Francis on it. It doesn't say like Pope real big or anything like that. But that ball is going to go up for auction through RR Auction. What do you think? The letter R. And another letter R, auction.
Gotcha.
What do you think it's going to sell for?
All right. So
don't worry if you get this wrong. I had no freaking idea.
It's the Pope,
who just died.
What language does he speak? Does he speak multiple languages?
Italian.
That's cool.
Probably multiple languages. That's a good point.
I think it's cool to learn multiple languages in life.
For sure. I wish I would have made more of a concentration on that when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Instead of being like, I only speak this one, I want to speak more. He's a pretty big, a significant figure. Is he the best Pope we've ever had? You know, do you have the rankings? Like when you go rank the presidents, we have a ranking system on Ranker or something.
I do not feel as though I'm qualified to rank the popes.
All right. Who is? God, that's easy. The Lord.
That is a good answer. I don't think he would engage in such nonsense.
I think it'll go for $800.
Okay. It's already
the Pope. He's not a baseball player.
It's already above $800.
Okay, 900. Has he ever thrown out a first pitch before?
Oh, man. He's older, or he was older.
Yeah, he's dead.
So, yes, I know. So I don't know. And he was pretty old even when he was, like, started being the Pope. So right. I don't know about that.
$2,000.
All right. It is already going for more than $2,000.
Holy cow.
The estimate is 15,000 plus. Right now, it's at 2,200.
Okay.
I'm fascinated by this because it is so unusual. And like, how do you display that baseball? And like, when people are like, who's Francis? They'd be like, it was the Pope.
Does it go like cross?
I don't know.
The hand? The Jesus pitching hand?
Okay.
Dude, which was he right-handed? We know.
I feel like I probably should know that answer.
I feel like I should too. After all the things
now
I learned
in life. Now
that's
what I really want to know. Was Jesus right-handed? I don't know.
Was there a form of baseball? Anyway, all right. So you said how much?
It's estimated that it'll go for $15,000 or more.
Wow.
And he did touch the baseball. Like, there's a picture or something that he held the baseball because somebody's like, there's no way he touched that baseball. He did, so he could sign it.
Autographing a baseball is not as easy as you think.
True.
First off, do it with a Sharpie, not a pen. Here's why. The pen always doesn't have enough ink in the tip to get started. Just never does. All right? Secondly, it's not going to be as clean, you know, if it's not a marker. So make sure you're doing it with a Sharpie. But dude, good for him that he was able to sign the ball. Did he sign the sweet spot or did he sign some regular spot?
Oh, it looks like he signed the sweet spot.
Okay, the manager's spot.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So are you buying this? Are we going to go after it or not?
You know what? $2,000, I think my wife would be fine with that. Mm-hmm. I think at 15, she might not approve of that so much. So probably not. All right. Are you ready for the story of Augustin Ramirez? You're going to love this story. So he was playing with the Memphis Jumbo Shrimp. And
is that a thing?
Yes. Yes. And that's a Triple A team, by the way. His manager, David Carpenter, said, hey, I need you to call home. Nothing. He was like, it's nothing bad, but I need you to call home. And so he goes, call your daughter. So he called his 2-year-old daughter and he had hopes about what it might be. And his 2-year-old daughter got to tell him that he was going to the big leagues.
That's so freaking cool. Like, that is really cool when your kids can share. I don't know at 2 if they're going to have a recollection of it at all.
Well, also, their speech pattern. Noah's 2.5, and there's sometimes where I was like, I got it. There's other times like, I didn't really catch it.
Carter claims that he remembers everything, and I don't know. Like, he tells stories, and I'm like, dang, how did he know that? But at 2, the kid's probably like, I don't know. But you are going to remember that forever.
Oh, my God,
And you're going to the big leagues, and you got to leave that kid behind for a long time.
What?
They can't go on the road every time. You're not that rich. Oh, you just got to the big leagues.
Man.
The per diem's not going to cover that.
That took such a harsh turn. All right, let's talk about...
He was the first ever millionaire.
I don't know.
That might be true.
I don't know that to be the case.
Maybe his kid can go with him everywhere.
All right, let's talk about Max Meyer. Yeah, you're... Especially now when $1 million means you're probably not that good at playing Major League Baseball, like, which is weird. Max Meyer, he had a season-high 14 strikeouts yesterday as the Marlins defeated the Reds 6-3. He's only 26 years old. That is an incredible start.
That is an incredible start right there for sure.
Are you more impressed by that or the 2-year-old who got to tell her dad to go up to the big leagues before then you said that she was going to have, he was going to abandon the family.
Yeah. And like you said, did that 2-year-old speak really clearly, you know, or was it kind of like, da-da, big league? And you're like, what does that mean?
I mean, look, if you made out da-da and big league, I think you should be able to figure out the rest of the way. Just my thought. All right. Are the Braves about to make a move? They are still a terrible 9-13. However, they have won 4 straight games. They went from 0-7 to 5-13, which is not great. But now they're 9-13. And now they're only tied for last place.
There we go.
Do you believe that the Braves could still come up in the world and make a run at this thing?
I'm a little concerned. And Kevin, I don't think this is in anywhere else in the show. But I am a little bit concerned regarding Acuna's upsettedness about he gets benched, yeah, but he doesn't get benched.
So, and we didn't get a chance to bring that up yesterday,
mm-hmm,
but he put out a tweet talking about like double standard for lack of a hustle, for lack of hustle. And then he deleted it. And the manager was asked about it, and he was like, was I supposed to talk about that? Because the manager had no idea,
and yeah,
that it was an issue.
It was, I think, Jared Kelenic didn't hustle.
Yes.
And Acuna's like, hey, he's not hustling. I get benched for that. Why did he get benched? And Snitker is like, well, because he hustles all the time. I never have a problem with him. I thought something might be wrong with him. So I talked to him about it. And that's the thing, Kevin. You do treat every player a little bit differently, and sometimes, sure, you have preconceived notions about a certain guy. Maybe you become a GM of a team, and you've heard about Luka or a player on the team. You don't like him that much. Maybe that's the case. And so he has thoughts about Acuna, and hey, sometimes you don't hustle, and that's how I motivate you.
I really loved, if you missed it, the original question was, do you have any comment about Jared Kelenic? And the manager goes, no, am I supposed to have a comment about him? Like, he looked really confused,
yes,
about the question. And then they had to walk him through, well, this is what Acuna said and blah, 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 blah.
So to go back to your question, if there's a problem in the clubhouse, then that could change things a lot for the Braves. But right now, it seems like they're on the right path.
I agree. And just keep an eye on them, because this is a team that people expected a lot from. And then we brought up that no team had ever made the playoffs after going 0-7. And here they are, 9-13. So they're at least like starting to make a move. But of course, two teams with the best record in all of baseball, won't surprise you to know, it's the Padres and the Dodgers. And what's even more incredible about that, the Mets are in the mix there too, is that the NL West has 3 of the best 4 records in baseball still.
Really?
The Padres, Dodgers and Mets are all tied for the best record, and the Giants are a game back.
Mm.
Think about this. The Arizona Diamondbacks have the same record as the Texas Rangers. They're 13-9 and in 4th place in their division.
That's tough, dude.
4th place!
That is tough. Yeah, to be the Cubs at 14-10 and only a game and a half up on the Brewers is kind of like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
What do I got to do?
If you're the Diamondbacks, you're like, the hell? We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, could the best value pick and biggest need pick for the Cowboys in the first round be the same guy? We'll do it next right here in the Fan.